Welcome to Popular Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. So welcome back everyone to Popular Cultural Cherry. This episode, we have our first guest from Vietnam. Her name is Yen Huang. She came to Germany as a master's student, did a few years of studies in the eastern part of Germany, and now she's living in the western part of Germany. She'll be speaking a little bit about her experience as a student, and she'll also be talking about her experiences as an Asian woman dating in Germany. She has her own YouTube channel, which later on she'll introduce. And I'm quite interested in actually understanding her perspective, because actually Vietnam is a country that I really love. I spent some time there when I was younger. I did a few months of volunteer work there. I was lucky enough that I was able to live with a Vietnamese family in the city of Hanoi in the north. And until now, I still have a lot of friends in Vietnam. So yeah, as always, let's go straight into the interview.
Thank you, Lawin. Thank you for having me here. Well, I'm Yen. I'm from Vietnam. And when I was in Vietnam, I graduated bachelor program in international business and then get a corporate job, worked there for 1.5 years. And then I applied for a school in Germany and moved here.
What made you choose to kind of think that, okay, I did my studies, now I'm working? What made you want to leave Vietnam?
Oh, well, actually, I didn't think much at that time. I was young and I wanted to explore the world and discover new places. And I don't know, in my mind, when I thought about Europe, I believe it would be so peaceful and like a fairy tale-like. So I just decided to find a master program to pursue in any country in Europe. And, luckily, I chose Germany. Yeah.
Why did you choose Germany out of all the countries in Europe? Was there any specific reason?
First and foremost, Germany provides free education. Let me tell you how I chose Germany, because I did the research. I Googled all of the countries in Europe that provide free education. And I remember at that time there were Norway, Germany, Finland, Italy, Poland, and Spain also charged just a little fee, which I could afford. And after narrowing down all of the countries, then I compared the living costs among these countries, the benefits that they offer to students, and the potential to get a job after you graduate. And there you go, I have a winner, which is Germany.
So you mentioned that about these benefits of Germany. From also what I remember and what I see in Germany in general, and what I heard back when I was in Vietnam, that it's quite common for Vietnamese youngsters to kind of look abroad in terms of to study and in terms of, doing maybe their master's or their bachelor's, their university education. Is it quite common nowadays for like young Vietnamese people, maybe straight from uni or after a few years in uni or after high school, to actually study in Germany or in Europe? Or is that something that not a lot of people do?
Oh yeah, nowadays there are a lot of Vietnamese students choose to study abroad. But in my experience, most of my friends choose to study in the US, Australia. Maybe they think they have better education. And the other reason is that years ago, the US colonized Vietnam, and you heard about the last helicopter, right? Then they brought a lot of Vietnamese to the U.S. And then these Vietnamese just brought their children to the U.S. and encouraged them, okay, to get to the U.S., you should study there and apply for a course there. And that's how it ends up through generations. So most of the Vietnamese students choose to live in the U.S. But then in recent years, the U.S. education is quite expensive. So a lot of students like me, don't have so much finance. So we choose to study in Europe because of the free education and also the cheaper living cost.
obviously what makes Europe a bit more different than the US, because I also did my master's in the Netherlands, which wasn't free, but it was cheaper compared to like the US or Australia. Yeah. Obviously, if you do it in US or Australia, like the costs are really, really expensive. And I understand why a lot of, you know, younger generation nowadays look to Europe as an alternative for studying. But what I also wanted to understand is, what was your idea of Europe like before you came here? You said earlier a bit, it's like a fairy tale and safety. Is that what you thought of Europe? Is your life now like a fairy tale?
Yeah, it's pretty much. Because, you know, it's not so much like green environment in Vietnam. But here, you know, everywhere, oh my God, green corner, right in my neighborhood. And they have cherry blossom. And they have dandelion. They have huge green park, and which I do not have in Vietnam. And they have a lot of castles, which make them so fairy tale-like.
Yeah, that's true. I understand what you mean, because also the castles and this part of being green, I understand, yeah. Because the Philippines is, especially where I come from, Manila, the capital, it's not, there's not so much green. And obviously we don't have castles. So I understand like how this kind of perception of Germany makes it something that you want to experience in your life.
Yeah, and I love the lifestyle here. It's so quiet and peaceful. It's completely opposite to where I live in Vietnam, which is Ho Chi Minh City. And you've been there, you know, it's really, yeah, chaotic and noisy. So yeah, the lifestyle here is so interesting.
Not that many scooters here, not that many motorbikes. So it's less noisy. The streets
are... Yeah, true.
You mentioned you finished your bachelor's. You worked for a few years in Vietnam. And after that, you actually did your master's. And maybe you can tell us about where you did your master's, what you did.
I did my master program first in Thuringian State for 1 year. And then I quitted the school. And then I reapplied to Technische Hochschule Köln, which is in Cologne. Yes, also international business program.
I've never been to Thuringian. I'd like to visit eastern part of Germany. But maybe you can give us a little insight of what life was like in Thuringian versus in Köln.
Yeah, Thuringian is quite a small state and it's in the east. So in my experience, the people are more conservative than the people in West Germany. And every time I went out to the street, I remember people stared at me a lot. Yeah, and they also not so friendly when they know that I didn't speak German.
Was it because they don't speak English that well there? Less than in Cologne?
Or? Yeah, it's okay. True. Here in Cologne, most of the young people could speak English really, really well and more international. So, you know, you see a lot of international people living here. So it's become something normal. But when I live in Thuringian, I believe there are not so many Asian people there. So people stared at me quite a lot.
If they're not used to seeing Asians so much, did they react to you in any, like, I don't know, angry, violent or insulting way while you were living there?
Yeah, I did experience that, but not so extreme. It's like when I bought something, I went to supermarket or any kiosk, I bought something, the cashier was really nice, was really friendly to other German customers. But when they saw me, they changed their attitude and became unfriendly and kind of not so much, but really not happy when they see me.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. Okay, did that also kind of influence you to make your decision to move cities?
Yeah, one of the reasons, but the bigger reason is that I want to move to a bigger city, which is like more dynamic, you know. And at that time, I was so bored at a small city. So I just want to move a better place. And I thought a bigger city would be better.
In German standards, Cologne is a really big city. And
yeah,
I've been there a few times. I can't say that I know the city that well. But from what I see, it's very international and quite touristic as well, especially like the city center. Just going back a bit, while you were in Vietnam, I guess you prepared to, you know, to study again in Germany. What was that preparation like? Did you have to learn German, a bit of German, and like the documents? Was it like hard to, you know, process all the requirements to study in Germany, or it was fairly simple?
I didn't have to study any German. And I remember the requirements at that time is that you have to show them the record of your GPA, and which is at least 2.5 in the scale of 4 in German scale. And in a scale of 10, it's around like 7.5. And you have to provide them some certificates, some documents like recommendation letter from your professors, recommendation letter from your bosses. Also, you have to show them the IELTS score, which is at least 6.5.
Are there a lot of courses that are solely in English or?
Well, as I know, when I did a research a few years ago, if you apply for a bachelor program, everything must be in German. But when you apply for master programs, then there are a lot of English programs too.
That's interesting. And the cool thing is that it's like tuition free. That I think, yeah, that makes it really different from a lot of other countries. So let's talk a little bit about your student life, you know. So you were a student before in Vietnam and you come now to Germany as a student. Do you think there's a big difference in like student life in Vietnam versus in Germany?
I see there's not much difference between Vietnamese universities and the German universities, because I see the German education system still theory focused, you know, like 70% of the time. Yeah, it's about theory, but you also have some projects, some group work, some like practical stuff. I think there's nothing special about German education system, yeah, to be honest. But they have a lot of events for international students, which I find really interesting, because you could expand your network when you are new. It's quite dynamic for me, because in university Vietnam, mostly you just study, not so many events. But here, a lot of events and parties for the new students.
So you get to network, plus it's free, and then it's international. Like there's a lot of aspects of it that make it very wanted, I think, for foreign students. So like in your class, could you say that majority of the students were foreign, or is it still pretty German?
In my first course, like half German and half foreigners. In my second course, the majority was foreign students. Yeah.
Cool. You must have had a really good time.
Yeah, true. Oh, and one more thing I want to stress here, because this is what I love the most about German education. They offer a lot of benefits for students, like in terms of insurance and the semester ticket, you know. They even give you free semester ticket so you could travel for the whole state without any cost.
Yeah, I heard about this, that you can travel for the whole state. And actually the state, we are actually from the same state in North Rhine-Westphalia, and it's a pretty big state. And
yes.
Imagine if you're a student, you can just go anywhere, like on the weekend, just visit different places. So I think that's a wonderful benefit.
Yes.
As a student.
Yes, yeah.
So have you used your semester ticket a lot to visit different places?
Yeah, I use it a lot, because I have a lot of friends living in this state. So at the weekend, I just use my ticket to visit them. And it's really nice. I don't have to worry about the money at all.
I heard actually somebody tell me that, you know, you should, even if you're working, just enroll in the university for like one subject or something so that you can use the benefits.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is true, but obviously I don't want to exploit the system. But I heard somebody tell me this, but I'm like, nah, it's okay. I mean, I can afford. I think that the whole point of it is when you can afford it, you should pay for it. And when you're a student, you shouldn't.
You know who taught me to do that? My German friends. A lot of German friends did that. And they showed international students to do that.
Wow.
So that's why we know about it.
That's why you have German friends, right? To teach you the hacks.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, when we first spoke, you mentioned to me that you work part-time in a Vietnamese restaurant in Cologne.
Yes,
and
yes.
At the same time, your fiance owns, is it a Vietnamese restaurant as well, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about like cuisine in general, because I'm a big fan of Vietnamese food. And actually the other, was it a couple of weeks ago, we had Vietnamese food. There's a couple of nice Vietnamese restaurants around our neighborhood. And in general, I find that, you know, Vietnamese food is one of the well, more popular Asian cuisines that you'll find in Germany. What do you think makes Vietnamese food special in Germany? Why do you think German people like it?
To be honest, I really don't know, because, you know, I'm familiar with Vietnamese food. So in my mind, Vietnamese food tastes really good because you were born with it and then you must love it, right? And I think the reason, another reason is that there are so many Vietnamese people living here. So they love cooking and they just open the restaurants. But I don't know, because I find other Asian food also really wonderful, and I love other Asian food also. But I think the main reason is that the Vietnamese food is cheap in Germany compared to other food. And it's funny that when you buy a portion of meat, and it's tricky that we put a lot of rice and also salad to the portion, and a German find it, oh wow, it's a huge portion, but half of it is rice and salad, which is not expensive at all. It's really cheap. So they think, oh, huge portion, cheap rice.
It's definitely true. I see how they kind of cheat the portions because of this. Because also, like in Vietnam, the portions are always kind of smaller, but at the same time, you can get several different things because they're quite small portions. You mentioned that there's actually a lot of Vietnamese people in Germany. And that's one thing that I was always curious about, because I see so many Vietnamese people, at least like majority of the Asian people that I see, at least in my city, in Aachen, are either Chinese or Vietnamese from how I feel. And when I talk to them, I think that the a lot of the Vietnamese people have been living in Germany for a long time. Do you know any like history why there's so many Vietnamese people in Germany in general?
Yeah, it's about the history, because, you know, before Vietnam was divided into like the north and the south, and the north was like socialist country, and the socialist countries often send people to other socialist country to study and to work. We have a lot of Vietnamese were sent to East Germany and also Russia to work and study. And when the Germany reunited, all of the Vietnamese in the East just migrated to the West. And then they just became so popular and like everywhere in Germany. And then they brought their children and other, their, you know, the next generations to Germany. That's why we became so popular. You see, if you went to the U.S., you would see a lot of Vietnamese, but from the South. Vietnamese from the South live more in the U.S., but the Vietnamese from the North live more in Poland and Russia and Germany, the socialist countries.
That part I didn't think about. But yeah, that's a very interesting history lesson that you gave me, because I always wondered, like, why are there so many Vietnamese people? And some of them are old and like they speak very fluent German. So I was expecting that they've been here for a very long time. And that answers my question. I never looked it up, actually, but I always had this idea that it could be because of like socialism and them moving to Eastern Germany and Eastern Europe in general. But I never really confirmed it. But yeah, so you've been living here for quite some years, 4 years, right? I think you said. You already said that life's pretty good. What were your biggest culture shocks actually when you moved here?
This is just what I think. And I don't refer to the whole nation, but I think my first impressions is that the Germans are quite distant, which is so opposite to Vietnamese. You know, we Vietnamese, we love small talk and we even talk a lot to strangers, but Germans don't do that. And I find them very distant, and which make me think, oh, is that because I'm foreigners? Is that because I'm Asian? And I kind of like have that negative thought, but then I just feel around, oh, because they are Germans, they are distant, and that's their personality. So there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand you, because in Vietnam, that's correct. Because I could pass as someone from Vietnam. Now that you're able to see me, I think I could pass as someone from Vietnam. Some people think I'm Vietnamese when I'm there. and just like random people always talk to me, old people or whoever. Obviously, I don't understand anything they're saying, but that rarely happens to me in Germany. Like, for example, I'm waiting for a bus or like maybe ordering some food. Rarely. Sometimes it happens and I really appreciate it. But normally it's mostly like old German people who talk to you. I think they're more...
Yeah, true,
I don't know.
True.
They're more open to like these kinds of conversations, but younger German people like would never really like talk to you like out of the blue.
Yeah, but I think maybe because they respect your privacy, maybe they don't want to disturb you. Yeah, but I think they are so cold, but maybe they have other reason they don't want to disturb you. And it's true that I find it's really like weird. Like when I was in Vietnam, I take a bus and normally I sit next to someone, I would talk to them, I smile, hey, where are you going? And it's a nice city, so we have small talk. But here, I never have small talk with Germans.
don't worry, there's nothing wrong with you. I experience it as well. And a lot of people I know also experience this. This is just how it is. I mean, obviously there's the benefit also. There's not everybody is like us who are like very extroverted and you know, really are open to these kind of conversations. There are a lot of people who just want their own personal space. And I think those kind of people like really would fit well, like in everyday German society. After these 4 years, you know, obviously it's not always going to be a smooth ride. You'll experience some culture shocks, like you said, about, you know, Germans being distant and cold. Do you think there are a lot of like important things that you learned here as a person, maybe about yourself or about the world?
Oh, sure. A lot. I learned to live independently, of course, because when I was in Vietnam, I lived with my family. And then when I moved out, I also lived with my roommates and we always have each other and I never feel alone. But now I have to do everything by myself. I kind of live very independently. And I also overcome the embarrassment of asking for help. When I was in Vietnam, I rarely ask for help. But here in Germany, when you're alone and sometimes you really need help, like when I look for a job, I try to overcome my embarrassment that, hey, I'm short of money and I really need to have a job now. And I just ask around and that's why I get a job to support financially.
So now you're finished with your master's, correct?
Yes.
Are you looking for a job? Or are you planning and staying in Cologne?
Yeah, I plan to stay here for a while, but I don't plan to look for a job. Actually, last year I looked for an internship. I got accepted, but after one night consideration, I decided to reject the position because now I change my career. I wanted to pursue creativity about art, paintings, and I think I will become an artist. So,
hey, good luck. I mean, career change is always difficult, but obviously, if that's something that you really want, something that you're really passionate about, then obviously there's no better time than now. And actually, the reason why how I found Yen was through YouTube, and Yen actually has her own YouTube channel where she talks about mostly her life and also your passion, and you also give some tips to other people. You posted also something about your art there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's true. My acrylic painting, my calligraphy, and I'm working on to my digital art. Yeah, and that's in the future, I will expand my art.
Actually, after watching some of your videos, I really found this one video very interesting. And it was a video wherein you spoke about how German guys or Western guys kind of view Asian women. Yeah. So maybe you could tell us a little bit, like summarize what you said there, or tell us a little bit about this.
I dated a lot of German guys. Ooh. And I see that some of them very interested in Asian culture, so that's why they try to look for Asian girls for marriage and for relationships. But also a lot of them perceive Asian girls as vulnerable and easy to walk all over with, which I find really sad. And I don't know how they perceive Asian girls like that, you know, easy. And we get Asian girl and I'm like the king. You know, you cook, you sacrifice for the relationship and you do everything for the man. So they think, this is so beneficial to marry an Asian girl. And I really don't like that. So I want to address this issue to other Asian girls to know that you have to think carefully before you step into a serious relationship. But not all of them are like that, of course. A lot of my friends married German guys and Western guys in general. And wow, they turn out to be the happiest couples that I ever known. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously you can't really generalize. But if you say that you've dated, I don't know, I won't ask you how many German guys you've dated. But like, if you could see like a pattern, how they treat and how they perceive Asian women, then I'll take your word for it, you know? I've also always had this idea that Western guys have this perception of Asian women, especially in Southeast Asia, how, you know, older guys from the West or from Europe or from the US or whatever, how they see Asian women, how they treat Asian women. And I think I also see this as a trend that a lot of like Asian women go date Western guys. I don't know if it has anything to do with maybe Asian men not being that manly enough or not be, I don't know.
It's common in also in Philippines that you see an Asian girl with a white guys.
Yes,
because
yes.
It's really common in
a
Vietnam.
A lot
but,
common.
Yeah.
A lot more common.
But in reverse, I don't see it common here.
I think with all this like K-pop and Korean stuff, it will open the gate for like the world to notice Asian guys.
Yeah. But I don't know why they have that like stereotype, right? I wonder why, like women, Asian women are so vulnerable, submissive, and easy to walk all over with, and from where?
I also don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, and yeah, I kind of sad when I know that they try to date Asian girls just because of that stereotype, not because of their true personality. Yeah, just
exactly.
Yeah,
I think a part of them just wants somebody to like take care of them, especially like the older, I don't know, Western people. They just want someone when they're old to like take care of them, so they go like find younger Asian women. I'm not really 100% sure about this, but this is just based on what I see. Yeah, so let's go talk about your YouTube channel. So how's that going? And maybe you can tell us why you decided to start that and what your plans are with your YouTube channel.
Well, actually, in the beginning, I just like to create things and I like to express myself. So that's why I started my YouTube channel. But another reason is that in the future, I want to have my own business. So I need to find customer base. So YouTube channel or social media in general is how I build customer base for the future. You could find me under the name Cherry Brave. Yeah, Cherry and Brave. And I make videos mostly about art, creativity, growth mindset, productivity, and sharing my life in Germany. Well, you know, all kinds of stuff that have brought me joy and help level up my life.
So one last question before I let you go. Let's say, for example, there's a young Vietnamese girl who has dreams of one day studying abroad, maybe in Europe, maybe somewhere else. What kind of advice would you give them in life?
Well, I think my first advice is to prepare really well your financial situation, because when you short of money, it costs you a lot of stress in the beginning. Yeah, it's really a lot of stress, especially when you're from the East Asia. In the developing countries, and you would understand how it feels when you buy something in Europe. Yeah, it hurts so much because when you try to calculate how much it costs in your like country dong, in your currency, and oh my God, it hurt me so bad in the beginning, and I was so stressed and anxious about financial situation, because you need to have 10,000 euros for a visa extension, and probably you will not live here for 1 year, maybe like 5 years, and every year you will need to have 10,000 euros in your bank account. Also, try to expand your network, because someday you might need help, especially the local people. You might need their help to adapt to the new life, to the new culture, and to find a job, a good job. Mostly I find job through the network. So it's really good when you try to expand your network.
One last question. Why is your YouTube channel called Cherry Brave?
Oh, now you asked about it. I noticed that you also have the word cherry in your channel.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Well, first of all, it's because I love cherry so much. I really love eating cherries.
To eat it.
Because there are no cherries in Vietnam, only here in Europe.
Ah.
Yeah, and when I first into Europe, I bought a lot of cherries. and I fall in love with the cherries, its shape, its color, and also the taste. So I just want to name it cherry, and the brave means that, you know, I was so not confident before, and I want to like add something to remind me that, okay, you have to be bold, you have to be brave to do this and to do that, to step out of your comfort zone and like make stuff. So that's why I named my channel Cherry Brave.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherries. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.